Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Matt. And today we will be talking about being a young Muslim in college, and we are joined by a special guest, Omar Mayar.
Omar is a 26-year-old Muslim American of Afghan descent. He grew up in Texas, Pennsylvania, and finally moved to South Carolina, where he attended Clemson University. He currently works at Furman University as a software analyst and is pursuing his master's at Georgia Tech.
So can you start by giving us a brief overview of what your experience in college was like?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I think everyone has kind of like a unique experience, right, going through college. But despite that, I would say mine was pretty vanilla as far as like Muslims who, I mean, as far as probably your listeners go, like a Muslim who grew up with a decent attachment to the masjid, a decent attachment to his Muslim community. His parents kind of instilled at least the basic Muslim values in him. So in that sense, I was a pretty boring college kid. You know, I didn't stray too far. I was able to maintain that tie to the masjid while I was going through college. I think that helped a lot. And so a lot of times when I was in college, I found myself, first of all, I made the best Muslim friends I had while I was in college, and I think that's really nice. I wasn't able to do that as much in high school just because where I grew up and went to high school, there weren't as many Muslims. And so for me, that was probably a big bonus, having an MSA, having other Muslim students around I could connect to. I would say looking back as a Muslim in college, I probably had like my best Ramadans in college just because as a student, you can stay up really late and do what you want. Or you can unfortunately like skip class if you have it on during class, but like you have the opportunity to do a lot more, especially because you have so much more free time while you're in college. So I was able to volunteer a lot more. I was able to probably memorize the most Quran that I've memorized while I was in college. I still don't know as much Arabic as I should, but I know a lot more now because I was able to focus on that in college. Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, college is just like an open book, really, and you can choose to spend that time however you'd like. Alhamdulillah, I was able to at least focus a decent amount of that time the way I wanted to.
Okay, so how did your Muslim identity influence your college experience?
I would say the biggest influence it had was on the company I kept. You know, you're still a minority on campus when you're Muslim, and so if you have certain values you want to hold while you're there as a Muslim on campus, there's certain people you're going to have to just turn down and not spend as much time with. There's definitely a lot of different things you'll be doing on Friday and Saturday nights that other people would be doing. And so just trying to find the right kind of company to keep to not let you get pulled into that, I think that's really important, and that very heavily influenced, you know, my college experience, making sure I had the right friends. Even the nice thing is, alhamdulillah, there's plenty of non-Muslims out there who aren't into that, you know, stereotypical Hollywood intensified college lifestyle. So a lot of my non-Muslim friends were actually really cool. They themselves didn't drink. They wouldn't go out really and do anything crazy like that. We were kind of nerdy, so we would just like sit and play video games or go out for really, really late, like milkshake runs at Cookout to us. That was exciting and thrilling. And they were really nice. They just had good values. They respected my beliefs and my values. It lined up well. And, you know, the funniest thing I always tell people is, like, there were times where I would forget to, like, pray the Dhuhr in our Asr or something, right? And we would go out to eat. And then they would say, oh, wait, don't you need to pray before we go out or something? And so, yeah, like, looking back, I didn't value it probably as much as I should have at the time. But now that I look back, I really think, you know, it was huge having those kinds of friends around me. That was a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of people kind of assume that there aren't non-Muslims that don't do those things, and they just kind of like lump all the non-Muslims into like one big group, and they're like, oh yeah, everybody drinks, so I can't be friends with any of them if I want to feel comfortable. But that's not always the case.
Right, yeah, it's totally that like harami culture. Like, we do it as a joke, but we say like, oh, I have my Muslim friends and like my haram friends, or like like we shouldn't do that. Like, we just call everyone kafar. Like, it's like a blanket statement, unfortunately, but it kind of, I feel like, feeds into that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of the widespread drinking culture on college campuses, what kind of activities did you do instead?
So, like I said, I had a lot of friends who didn't drink. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing. And then you can really, you can do anything to have fun. There's plenty of things you can do outside of drinking. I think people just don't realize that, or they just kind of get hung up on the whole drinking thing because it's new to them. They're like away from home. They have that liberty and they can get away with it. And for a lot of like non-Muslims and Muslims alike, it's like that thrill of having like a fake ID or something and getting away with it. I wouldn't know that personally, but I guess that's what feeds into it. But really, I think drinking honestly isn't as huge of an issue, at least for Muslims, as people make it out to be. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, if you grew up praying five times a day and fasting, like, you know what's haram and what's halal. And unless you intrinsically have this drive to try drinking or to, you know, to drink, which is probably something that you were most likely exposed to in high school. A lot of kids usually start drinking in high school, and most kids know people who start drinking in high school. So if you find yourself being pulled towards that in high school, then yeah, you've got problems in college and you need to find ways to get around that or get over that. But if you're going into college the way I did and you just weren't interested in that, really it's not that big of an issue. I would say the biggest thing going into college isn't actually drinking, even though people get hung up on it. It's more like dealing with the opposite gender. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you're young. You're probably going to be the best looking you are in college. And also the people around you are going to be the best looking that they are in college. Like, they'll be in the best shape. They'll look good because they're young. And so, you know, you're going to have classmates. You're going to have non-Muslim, in my case, like non-Muslim girls that will ask you out. You'll have MSA students that are female that, like, will ask you out. In my case, it was like a 27-year-old Iranian grad student who initially just invited me out to, like, join her and the other, because I'm from Afghanistan, right? So we kind of speak the same language. Okay. So at first I was like, oh, okay, Iranian students, like, I can get along with them. And so I very naively, like, got to know people. And then that's the risk, really, is getting to know people like that. And then I'm totally going off on a tangent and not answering your main question.
Oh, no, you're good. If you could talk more about, like, how you interact with the opposite gender, I think that would be great.
Like, growing up in the masjid, like, it's, like, shut down, right? You have that divider, and so you don't even look over.
Yeah, if you look at your mom's, you're like, stop looking.
So, no, that's totally understandable. And I think that's a problem, like, we kind of develop for ourselves. Like, we don't prepare our kids on how to handle that or deal with that. And I experienced that firsthand. But, no, yeah, I mean, she was, like, you know, she was just a nice girl. I thought maybe she was just inviting me to, like, meet up with her and other Iranian students. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that, you know, there's someone out there who might like me and might want to ask me out. And so initially I just very foolishly, like, went into it. And then the problem really is when you get constant exposure to someone that you find attractive and that finds you attractive, eventually you'll reach, like, you'll know you're already almost too far gone when you're, like, sitting there and, like, looking for an excuse to text this person or hoping that they'll text you, or they added you on Snapchat and you're like, it says, like, oh, this person is typing, and you're, like, just waiting for that message to come in. Like, that's when it's almost like you're too far gone, because especially at that age, I mean, even now, I'm only 26, so it's like you have those desires. And so if, like, that's a flame, the emotional attachment that you get along with that, it's like dumping an oil barrel onto those desires. And so it's just really a dangerous situation. Alhamdulillah, like, nothing happened between me and this girl. And, you know, I was actually foolish enough to, like, try and do the, I completely ended things with her. Like, basically, like, 2 months into just, like, getting to know her, I said, you know what, maybe I should meet your parents. And she was like, no, that's totally weird, back off. So luckily, like, me trying to do the right thing led to her saying, like, nah, that's a little weird. I think you're moving too fast. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was, like, a wake-up call for me that, like, oh, you know what, maybe this isn't right. But I knew plenty of other guys who, unfortunately, didn't have as, like, lighthearted of an experience. And so when it comes to drinking especially, you know, like, Muslim guys who are more committed, the ones that I saw that did start drinking, it was actually when they went through, like, a bad relationship or a heartbreak. Mm-hmm. Like, that ended up being their coping mechanism, unfortunately. Okay. And so you see a lot of, like, young Muslims getting married in college and then, unfortunately, getting divorced just because divorce rates are so much higher under 25. And so they turn to alcohol, or they, you know, they thought, you know, they're in love with the girl and they're going to marry her. And then their parents say no, or her parents say no, and things don't work out. And then they turn to alcohol. And it's, and, you know, it's unfortunate because, again, we don't prep kids for this. And so they'll be in situations where they'll compromise values, they'll cross lines they thought they would never cross before marriage. And they just don't know how to cope with it. They don't know who to talk to about it. They don't want to talk to their friends because they think they might get judged. Yeah. Or they know that their friends will know who they're referring to. Yeah. And so they don't want to, like, mess up this girl's honor or something. And so it just builds up inside of them and they don't have an outlet. And so that's really tough to deal with. And, like, as a friend, seeing other guys that I knew going through that, that was really tough. And it was really hard for me to try and get them to open up and talk about it. I would say that's, like, honestly the biggest challenge in college. Drinking is, like, if you're into drinking, you're going to be into drinking. If you're not, it's really not that hard to stay away from.
Yeah. But also, I think it's interesting, like, you're talking about, like, gender relations. But, like, on the other hand, like, it's obviously, I think, different for guys and girls. But on the other hand, you also, like, it's impossible to go through college and, like, not interact with the opposite gender and, like, very unnatural to not do so. So I guess what kind of advice do you have, or, like, from your experiences, what helped you, like, interact with the opposite gender, both Muslim and non-Muslim, in a way where you were, like, following Islamic guidelines, but then also, like, not being awkward? Because I feel like a lot of people assume that you're either, like, super awkward, or you don't talk to guys at all, or you don't talk to girls at all. So how do you kind of balance that, and what was your experience like?
So I would say actually err on the side of awkward. It's better. Like, at the end of the day, right, you ultimately will answer to Allah, not to what the people around you think. Mm-hmm. So if you're more worried about people thinking, you know, you're awkward or weird. So I knew some guys who wouldn't even shake hands with women, right? And so that was really interesting. We would be at, like, an interfaith dialogue event, and women would come by afterwards and, like, shake my hand. And then they'd go to the next guy over, and he'd say, no, I'm sorry, it's haram, I don't shake hands. Like, that's really awkward, right? Yeah. But I respect people who stand by that. And so some people go all out like that. Some people don't. I myself, right, I don't do that. I don't feel the need to draw that line. But really, I mean, in that sense, I would say you already are prepped for that, right? You went through high school, unless you went to a non-co-ed high school, like an all-girls Catholic school or something, then it's not really that new of an experience for you going through college and dealing with the opposite gender. Because at the end of the day, everyone around you, they're either your professors or your classmates. Mm-hmm. So treat them the same way you did with your classmates in high school, right? So I would say I was a bit of a unicorn, because going into college, I didn't have any girls' numbers saved on my phone. And I think coming out of college, I had, like, one. And it wasn't even, like, we didn't have anything going on. It wasn't even anything like that. I think it was, like, some girl I had worked on a project with, and I just never deleted her number. And so, like, it's really not that hard to maintain cordial, proper relationships. It's the danger is when you know someone wants something more out of you, mm-hmm. and you either, like, slowly let it happen because you kind of deep down want that too, or you want to, like, play with fire in that sense. And that's where things get dangerous. But I mean, you can, the same way you interacted with your classmates and you joked around, I'm sure you guys, like, joke around with guys at your school, right? It's not like you giggle and run away like some Bollywood movie or something to maintain your honor. Like, that's not how kids grow up these days. So I would say kids are prepped for that going into college. It's just when you're there and you have that freedom, and you also, I think the biggest thing is you fall into the trap of, oh, well, this seems like a nice guy, or this seems like a nice girl, and I'm at an age where maybe I can get married, and you trick yourself into thinking, like, I'm ready to handle a relationship, so let me go ahead and try that. That's more the thing you need to avoid. Mm-hmm. Don't fall into that trap, because at the end of the day, college is the time where you need to learn more about yourself, and until you've fully realized who you are as a person, what you stand for, mm-hmm. and you build that, like, self-awareness and that self-respect, you're not going to be in a position to get to know someone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 26, and I still feel like I don't fully know myself enough to get married, even though I'm trying to get married. So it's like, it's just a, college isn't the right time for that.
Is there any advice you would give to young Muslims in college or rising Muslim college students?
The biggest piece of advice I would give to you is try your best to actively think about what you value and where you would draw your lines. Because unfortunately, even though I tried to downplay and say, you know, it's not that big of an issue, when you're in college, you will have more opportunities to do things that our deen doesn't permit. You'll have more opportunities to do what's haram, and you won't, you know, up until now, you've had the social pressure of your family being there and keeping an eye on you, your friends being, you know, the community you grew up around being there and effectively keeping an eye on you. That could go away depending on where you go to school. Mm-hmm. And when that does, you know, you'll feel a certain sense of liberty and freedom. And with that comes a great deal of temptation. So the more time you can take to actively think about, what am I okay with doing? Because at the end of the day, we all know what's haram and what's halal, but we all draw our lines at different places. It's because we're human. That's how we work. So I would say just make sure you can set that standard for yourself and then work to maintain that standard.
So what resources did you use in college that helped you improve or maintain your Muslim identity?
As far as resources go, I'd say the biggest thing is get involved with your MSA, surround yourself with other Muslims, surround yourself with people who share your values, because they'll help you maintain and uphold them. And have a good relationship. I mean, hopefully you're at a campus where there's a masjid nearby, right? So at Clemson, the Clemson Masjid is just right down the street. And so it's really great to make sure you stay involved in that sense. Keep going to Jummah every Friday. That's really important. Get to know the like local Muslim community there outside of your college. That helps a lot. It's really good to have that same Muslim community that you hopefully grew up in through high school. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can try your best to find that again in college.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Real Talk, Real Muslims. I think a lot of people are really going to benefit from what you said, and I learned so much from you today.
No, thank you for having me. Hopefully it was insightful. Hopefully people don't get too freaked out by the things I said, mm-hmm. but I think what you guys are doing is really great. Mashallah, I hope it continues on.
Thank you so much. And if anyone has any comments or questions, let us know and stay updated by following us on Instagram at Real Talk Real Muslim. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this Real Talk with Real Muslims. That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you. Bye.